So hopefully, Jeremiah, with the video, you have recorded the attendance and the guests. We'll call this meeting to order. And if I can get a motion to approve the agenda.
I motion to approve the agenda. This is Madhu.
Thank you, Madhu. Do I have a second?
Zena, I second.
Zena, thank you. Betsy.
I'm sorry. It took me a second to unmute there. I've been meeting in person. Yes.
Approved. Thank you. Ken.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Nina.
Aye.
Zena.
Aye.
Madhu.
Aye.
And Anthony, aye. The agenda has been approved. Are there any presentations from the floor on non-agenda items? Okay, are there any presentations from the floor on agenda items? Okay, then we will move forward with the reports and presentations. I'll hand it back over to Farnaz or whomever wants to kick this off.
So, in the interest of time, and since we've recently reported to you on a significant number of updates, and I've sent you an email update that went to all staff, I'm going to not have a leadership update for this meeting, and instead, we're going to hear from Rosa at ECHS Lawndale for an update about college and counseling from this year, and Allison will share an update from ECHS Gardena. And then we're going to jump into our Growth and Sustainability Committee update, which is very much a leadership update as well, which is going to be our study session that we hope to keep to 30 minutes. So with that, I'm going to stop sharing and ask Rosa to share for her presentation.
Hello, can you all hear me? Great. Okay.
Rosa, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, of course. I think it's this one. Nope. Let me close that window. Here we go. Okay, so they asked me to present to you what will be my actual last college presentation. So I hope I do it justice, as I'm very excited. This was a really tough year, but we did the best we could. So here goes. So the why, we just went over the mission, and the big thing here is college, right? Really helping the students get in, have the higher probabilities, especially with financial aid, and that we've given them the equipment and what they need to know in order to graduate from college. So this was a college counseling team led by Lucy, and we had Roxanne as our senior seminar teacher this year, and then we were able to hire an additional counselor, Tiffany Island, and then we also had Jessica Ceballos sort of like as needed basis. So she really helped out. She was a college prep 9 teacher this year, but whenever we needed all hands on deck, which is something that we often needed this year due to the difficulty of getting in contact with students and their parents, she often came over to help as well. So our senior class, we had 112 students this year, 98 students identified as first generation, 79 students were Cal Grant eligible, which means that they fell below the threshold of California state standards for getting aid. And then that's the ethnic breakdown for this class. So virtually, what did we do? Something stayed the same. So we gave one-on-one college counseling to almost all of the students. And I say almost because there were some students that just never showed up, unfortunately. And I'll go into that a little bit later. But we tried our best to get in contact with all the students, and we definitely kept markers as to who we were able to get in contact with and who needed to be spoken to. And these were like a priority list, right? What students had the highest probabilities of getting into a four-year university, regardless of their GPA, those were students that we met with. It's actually 99%. Sorry, it's 100%, not 99. 100% of students apply to at least one higher educational institution, and about 40 students actually apply to private schools this year. So this year we didn't make private schools mandatory as we have in previous years. This year we really spoke to the students about what private schools are like, which ones would be available to them. We looked at their list. We gave them a choice this year for private schools. So we made CSUs and UCs mandatory if they were eligible, but private schools was a choice for the students this year. 80% submitted FAFSA this year, and I know that's not our usual 100%. There were 9 students that did not submit FAFSA this year, and that's just because despite all of our efforts, we just could not get in contact with them, or their parents opted out. They decided that due to their income or because they didn't want to share any tax information, that they did not want to complete FAFSA this year. Those 9 students were not Cal Grant eligible, and those 9 students also may not have been or have completed the regular ECHS track. They were on a California diploma track, which means that they did not complete their A through Gs, which also translates into we're not eligible for a 4-year university. There's 100% Cal Grant submissions because we do that on our end, and over 95 financial aid meetings with students or parents and or students with their parents. So, a lot of challenges this year. So the biggest differences were changes. This class needed to adapt. It's something they did not really have a choice in, but we all tried our best. So they experienced a year and a half of virtual learning, and it was different for them. And as time went on, they got into their own routine, and we unfortunately had no say as to what that looked like for most of them. They were dealing with the pandemic. So they were missing their friends. Some of them had depression, isolation, loneliness, stress. Some of them had to experience grief. And with all of this and not having them be around us, we did not have the same opportunity to sit next to a student to get something done, which means we couldn't motivate a student the way that we could previously, right? We couldn't talk to them about certain probably misconceptions. It's too expensive. I'm not going to apply. I'm not going to go. I shouldn't go to a 4-year. I should go straight into community college. If that was the case, because sometimes they just wouldn't show up to one-on-one meetings. They would be in the virtual class and we would put them in a breakout room, but they would never speak. Their camera would never go on, or they would never go into the breakout room to begin with. So it was very difficult, very just not as personal as we're used to. And we also couldn't gauge emotions, which is huge. We couldn't gauge whether or not they had additional stressors if we couldn't even see them in a room. We didn't know if they were put together. We didn't know if they hadn't showered in 5 days. We didn't know if they had fears about college, or maybe that's why they were stalling, or if they were experiencing things that we just didn't know about because we just couldn't even see them. So it was very difficult and a very different type of year. As an example, there was a girl who never showed her face, and I don't know if she did it accidentally, but she showed her camera, and I could see in the background that she was taking care of 2 or 3 other siblings at the same time and helping them with virtual school and dealing with her own college applications. And I could see her like yelling at them, and I was like, oh, she has a whole other type of situation. So with her, at that moment, I knew like maybe we should wait till her parents get home and I can and meet with her separately. So those were types of things that we just didn't know for all students at any one time. So students and parents had different priorities, and it's exactly that. Some of our students had to work during the day. It was just the reality of the situation because maybe their parents were laid off due to pandemic. And so we had to figure out how to get in contact with them and when to meet with them. And sometimes that was at 8 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night. We would visit the senior seminar classroom, but interactions were limited, just like I mentioned. So the senior seminar teacher was key in disseminating information in Google Classroom and constantly repeating information. With that, there were some things that helped us. So our community partnerships were very helpful this year. College Match continued to help our highest achieving students, and El Camino College still helped our students that were opting to go to a two-year community college or only had that option. They still had separate workshops for some of our students individually. So they still met with them, they still did orientation, they still helped them register for classes, all of those things. It was just all virtual. Zoom, talking points, Instagram, email, Google Voice, we used it all. So if they didn't show up to Zoom, we would send them a text message. If the text message didn't work, we would find them on Instagram. We would send the emails, we would use our Google Voice phone numbers. We did whatever we could. We'd call a student and ask for their cell phone number and text them there or call their mom. We would call emergency phone numbers, and I don't know how ethical that is, but we need to get in contact with students. So we did what we could in order to try to figure out what the student needed in regards to their college application process. Naviance has helped still because we're able to send things. It was all virtual, so we could see things virtually. And then Carpe, which is still a program that we're a part of, and that helped us with additional. They have a whole program called Pathways, and so there were additional lessons that the students could follow in order to complete their college application process. So if at the very least they were not paying attention in class, or were not doing what we were asking them, they needed to complete one of these episodes in order to receive credit. So in that moment, they still got the information that they needed, even if they didn't pay attention while we were saying it. And they gave us financial support. So if we needed some money for some raffles at times, and they paid us so that we could work the Thanksgiving week and gave us each $400 stipends so that we can continue to help the students. So onto the college commitment report. In our CSU system, 47 students will be attending these very few CSUs. So there's a very key difference this year from previous years is you don't see Chico, you don't see Humboldt, you don't see San Diego. These are all our most local CSUs. Our students as a class have opted to stay more local when it comes to our CSUs. Financially, it is what they can afford. But oftentimes we still have a few students that opt to go up north, and we did have a few students that did get accepted, but most of them chose to stay local. These are the names of the students that are attending these schools. Dominguez Hills is our closest school, and that's why most of our students get accepted into that school. However, it is very important to note that of all of these CSUs, in the state of California, Dominguez Hills does have the lowest graduation rate for first-time freshmen in 6 years. So I think that's a very important point to look at, especially when we're looking at our graduated students and what that number looks like and what more resources we need to put into supporting the students specifically that are attending Dominguez Hills. For our UCs, we have 23 commitments to these five UCs. So this year, we usually get at least a student in each one of the UCs. But this year, these are the UCs that the students have opted to go to, with Riverside and Berkeley and Merced giving the most financial aid. So they tend to give the most financial aid, Merced especially, Riverside and Berkeley. Berkeley takes higher achieving students, which means those students get more scholarships, more grants. So they tend to go. And the names of these students are here. And you all have this if you want to go back. I know some of us look for the middle school students. 8 private schools and an HBCU this year. So these students opted for really going out of state, except for Cassandra and Iris, which will be going to Mount St. Mary's University, which is across the street from the USC campus, and it's all women's school. The rest they're leaving California, and they're very excited to do so. And lastly, community college. So we have several community colleges on this list this year, and that's because some other community colleges have certain specialties that the students were looking for that El Camino does not. I still very much highly recommend El Camino because I think out of all of the community colleges in the area, they have the best transfer programs available. For example, Santa Monica College doesn't have any transfer programs, but they are the number one transfer community college because they hold the most amount of students. So some of these were also for location. So some of the students have moved, and these were the closest schools to them. So despite our pandemic limitations, 100% of our students applied to a four-year university. 95 to 96% got accepted into a four-year university. And the reason why that's not a fixed number is because not everybody responded to our survey. So we have a rough estimate that that's what it is based on our conversations and the notes that we have. That's roughly around the number we landed on. But for sure, about 70% of our students committed to a four-year university. So lastly, Cal Grant, and it's important. 69.9% of our students are receiving Cal Grants for the next 4 years, and this amounts to over $2 million in financial aid. And the reason why it's over is because we do have high-achieving students that opted to go to community college, and once they transfer and get their Cal Grants, this number will obviously go up. And lastly, your team will look different next year, but I have a lot of faith in them. And I'm always here, of course. So it's really exciting for me to know that you are going to have three whole counselors in the college counseling team, and that we will still have the support of the senior seminar teacher. So this is really awesome. I'm really excited for them. I have a lot of faith in what they can do. We've all been doing this work together for the past several years, so this should be great. I added about three more slides there. If anybody wants to look at any more numbers or breakdowns and comparisons to previous years, it's all there for you. So if you want to take a look at that, you can, but this is where I conclude my presentation. Any questions?
What an amazing job you guys have done in this difficult year. I mean, it's just incredible. So congratulations. And where are you going?
I'm going to Carpe, actually.
Good for you. Okay.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Oh, fantastic. Well, congratulations. What a terrific job.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rosa. We're going to miss you. And you're a really valuable member of our team, and we working with you, I know the kids just really looked up to you and really saw you as a mentor. So we thank you
so much. I'm here for whatever. I'm still here. I keep telling my friends, oh yeah, my school, and it's not your school anymore. I'm like, it's still my school. I'm not going to any other school, so this is still my school. Yeah.
All right,
thank you so much,
Rosa, thank you so much. We're so grateful for all of your service for our kids. I keep telling the story of you last year at the drive-through graduation when you were crying as every student passed, and your connection to each of them was so inspiring for me to see. I can't even begin to thank you for all your hard work, and this is really inspiring. So thank you for all the time it took to do this and for being here with us. Can you share with me share in the chat the link
yeah.
to this presentation for everyone so they can dig in deeper when they have time?
Absolutely. I will do that now. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you, Rosa. I'm going to share again, and we can move forward with the agenda unless there's any additional questions for Rosa. Thank you. So the next update is from Allison. Allison, do you want to share screen?
You're on mute, Allison, just so you know.
Hi, everybody. I'm excited to give a little update on ECHS Gardena. First off, you can see my screen, correct?
Yes.
Okay. First off, we're excited that we have currently full enrollment for our new school, which means that we have about 121 students that are currently enrolled, and that's fully enrolled. We have all their paper, all their documents are in our possession. About 70% of our students are coming from our Gardena community, and about 20% are coming from our Inglewood community, with about 10% coming from the larger community outside of our middle schools. Our Gardena campus continues to receive applications weekly, and the number of enrolled students grew in just the last 30 days to full enrollment. So for a brand new school, this is really good news, and we're excited to be able to move forward this school year with full enrollment. The even more exciting is the joy that our parents have when they communicate that they're excited to send their students to our campus. We're also almost fully staffed. We have hired, Cindy was able to get on the job with Sarah early on, and has hired almost every single position. I think they have only one more hire to make to be fully staffed, which is very exciting because it is incredibly difficult year for hiring, but we started early for the new school and are now fully hired up. We also completed our due diligence with MCP, so Menlo Charter Properties, which is our special purpose entity, completed its due diligence and took action this week to waive the due diligence period, which means that the sale is moving forward, which we are very excited about. The next milestones with regard to the facility, which is always the biggest challenge for a new charter school, is to revise the lease agreement between ECHS Gardena and the Calvary Baptist Church. The Calvary Baptist Church is the current owner of the site. They have been, we have been developing our relationship with them, as I mentioned at the last board meeting, and they are now including some additional space for us, which is the office space. And so our agreement with them is going to expand to also include that office space, and that is on the agenda for tonight for board action, to increase the amount of square space that we'll have by about 2,000 additional square feet, which is very exciting. We also are working on completing the renovations to the facility that we will be using this school year with MCP to make those improvements. And we are also ordering the classroom furniture and supplies that we need for this first year of operation. And then we'll be moving into the space in time for the first day of school. We're also working with a new funder for a special kind of tax-exempt bond structure. This tax-exempt bond structure normally is priced out through major bond organizations like Stifel and Piper, Baird, and others. But this one is able to offer the same structure at a lower price. And some of our board members that were at the Finance Committee meeting can echo this. But essentially, the price of the bond structure is almost, I would say, more than between 30 and 50% less, which is significantly less as a monthly cost to ECHS. And the reason why it's less is because the organization that is doing this for us pools a lot of different nonprofits into its bond, like when they issue the bond, they issue it to a lot of nonprofits, which means it's like a special fund for nonprofits, which means that folks are willing to lend money to it through this tax exempt structure at a lower interest rate, which then means that lower interest rate is transferred over to us. And so instead of paying closer to 3.5% to 4.5%, we're going to get come in under 3%, maybe close to 2.75% is what they quoted us. Now, this isn't a done deal yet, but we're pretty confident that we're moving this in the right direction and that it will support our efforts to acquire this site, which is very exciting because it makes the site extremely affordable. We continue to move the project along through a project management tool that has really helped us have very quick and efficient meetings that Farnaz has introduced to our organization as a mechanism, which I'm very happy with. And we, as I mentioned, continue to develop our relationship with the seller, most recently the amendment to the lease, and then also they have made it really easy in getting the improvements approved so that we can have the site ready for the school year. So facilities prep means that we're taking a lot of steps to make the site work for our students, and that includes new paint, new flooring, removing walls, adding new walls, restriping the parking lot for drop-off and pickup, adding electricity where needed, cosmetic changes, but also things that are required, like fire life safety systems and security systems that have to be added to the building. And we're going to be ready to go by the first day of school. So, yay, ECS. That's it, folks. I'm happy to answer questions, trying to keep this to 5 minutes. And I'll stop sharing.
Any questions for Allison? Thank you, Allison, for the presentation.
Yeah, thank you, Allison, for everything. I mean, to get to this point, I know it's been a tremendous amount of effort, and it is so exciting. It's so awesome. So kudos to you and your team.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Allison. The next agenda item is our study session with Julie, and I'm not going to show the agenda again, just share her presentation for you all.
Good evening, everyone. I hope you're all doing well. I'm excited to be here tonight. And you know, like before we jump into talking about fundraising for ECHS Gardena, I also just want to like acknowledge that it's so wonderful to start this meeting, receiving this college report from Rosa. One, you know, to be able to receive, just acknowledge the work that her and her team has done, but also remind us that, you know, the outcomes of our college acceptance is something that we're so proud of, but it also represents the work and the building that it takes to develop the relationships with our students and our families to make those outcomes possible, right? And so when we think about an additional high school, it's really about that work, right? That really lays the foundation of all of this. So I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge that. So our capital campaign, so the slide, many of you have attended some of our capital campaign presentations. So I just wanted to start off by just revisiting our timeline in terms of our fundraising efforts. So for those board members who have been with us since 2016-17, you know, our vision setting for this new high school began many years ago. So when we knew that we needed this additional high school for our students is when we sought planning dollars. And so that first $900,000 grant from the DOE's CSP charter school program was what really initiated the work, and that was in 16-17. And so soon after that, Great Public Schools Now, as they transitioned into a funder, also funded us $50,000 for a planning grant. And then as we continued to do the work and went through the charter petition process and all of that, received additional startup funding from the Walton Family Foundation. So in 2020, despite, you know, the pandemic and everything that was happening, we were still sort of diligently deciding that we wanted to make this happen. And although, you know, the dates got pushed back, fundraising was still a top of mind for us. And so really at the start of this year, 2021, is as we continue to seek grant dollars, is we began these series of capital presentations, right? And so you'll remember is when we reached out to all of you, asked you to really think about who are the folks in your network, your circles, who would be really excited about learning about ECS and about what the vision that we have for this high school. And so Farnaz and myself and Allison and many of the folks in this Zoom space were a part of those presentations. So we did more than 30 presentations to a lot of excited folks who had questions. And, you know, we all know that the common response is, I wish I knew about this school, right? And so it was very encouraging, really exciting, I think, for Farnaz and I to be able to share about our schools and get excited and be reminded about this important work. And so the outcome of that was really to recruit members to our Growth and Sustainability Committee. And so the idea of this group of community leaders and business leaders was to really think about strategy and to think strategically about what are the opportunities out there, what are the entities that do not yet know about us and have the resources to support this, right? And so this group is really to complement and support the work of all of you and the board. So now that we're sort of coming full circle is the reason why we wanted to, you know, touch base with you again and send you an update. And then, of course, as we shared at the last meeting, our recent grant from the Charter School Growth Fund in the amount of $550,000 really jump-started and helped sort of cinch the deal in terms of our goal this year. I also wanted to take a moment, Farnaz, if you just go back very quickly, just to acknowledge Farnaz's partnership. I know that as our development person, you know, I am leading this, but I think if not for Farnaz's partnership, particularly with this Charter School Growth Fund relationship building, it would not have been possible. So just wanted to acknowledge that. Thank you, Farnaz. All right, so timeline. So I just wanted to give you a snapshot of who these folks are on our Growth and Sustainability Committee. So many of you do know Portia Cohen. She's local to South Bay, former mayor of Manhattan Beach. Her partner, Andy, is the CEO of Gensler, who has already made, they've already made a generous donation to us and has been partnering with us and working with Allison. And then we have members, many who may be familiar to all of you. Some of them were introduced to us by you. So also wanted to thank you for bringing them to us. So these were the committee goals. And so over the last few months, we've been sort of building relationships with them, informing them about the process. And really at this point, we're ready to sort of move forward. So our last meeting with the committee, and I forwarded an email to all of you this morning, is really, you know, we have scrums every 2 weeks, and it's really about getting together, getting updates, and ideating and brainstorming and strategizing. So in terms of our progress, so our goal, as we had communicated, is to raise $5 million by next summer, right? So we're in summer 2021, so that gives us a full year to raise the remaining 3.6 that we're looking for, still actively grant seeking, as well as identifying other sources of funding. Farnaz, please feel free to chime in if you want to add anything. But you're on mute.
I just want to, I think it's important to note on this slide that it may look like we're further away from our goal than we would want to be, since we're half, you know, we've already passed a whole year and now we're going to be starting our second year of this campaign. But launching this capital campaign committee was a very big first step in it. We've started to apply for a lot of grants that could help to reach this goal. So we're pretty optimistic that based on our projections at this point, we'll be able to meet this goal. But we definitely want to ask for your support and partnership. We're very excited by the way in which our Growth and Sustainability Committee is, they're just a lot of doers and they have a lot of ideas and they're willing to share their networks. But we don't want it to be an island on its own. It was really important for us to bring the work of the Growth and Sustainability Committee back to the ECS board to engage you in this process.
So that being said, we are going to do a little bit of breakout groups. And so we're probably going to split you all into groups of three. And, you know, in your groups of three, there is, and I'll share the link, there is just a Google Doc that I will ask you to take notes on, maybe assign one person to take a note. And so think about who is on your list, right? So if you already have folks that you've identified and have already introduced to us, Farnaz and I, our commitment is to wrap back around with those folks since the presentation and update them. But if there's other folks that you can connect us to, right, now that you're hearing the live updates from Allison, you kind of see where we are, So capture that, you know, all the ways in which we can get connected, partners, program partners, but also funding partners and corporations and other contacts in the community. And then we wanted to just keep, you know, leave space for what are your wild ideas? What are ideas that are outside of the box that we may not be thinking of that you just want to throw out for us to consider? Okay. And then lastly, you know, thinking about you as a board member, what can you do? So we're now that, you know, we're kind of back on campus and preparing to sort of be in person again, we're considering possibly hosting some type of gathering this summer. May not be on campus, maybe if a board member is comfortable hosting something, some kind of gathering, or, you know, or inviting folks to an event that we may be hosting. Okay. Do folks have any questions before we put you into breakout groups? So I'll drop the link for the document in the chat and then in your groups, and we'll give everyone about 10 minutes before we come back together, and then we'll share out in a large group any sort of pressing ideas that folks have, and then we'll wrap up. Okay.
Hi there, Zena. Good to see you. Hey, Julie.
Hi.
All right. The dream team.
The dream team.
maybe I can't help too much with this particular exercise, but I'll try to think. You know, I'll do my best.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeremiah, you have a very strong network. Let me just say.
Maybe I haven't tapped into it. That's the whole thing.
You are tapped into everybody. Every time I have a question, I always ask Jeremiah. He's very sick and tired of me going, Jeremiah, I'm not sure how he did this, but, or how do I do this? So,
yeah,
I appreciate
it. Not at all, but yes, I'll try to think hard now.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm going to, since, you know, I will be scribe, and I will take notes.
Okay, so, Julie, there was, I think, Farnaz had an opportunity to talk to somebody I had recommended through Marla Zeslansky, and he was like, and I can't remember his name, something like Dean or something like that, I don't remember. It was a friend of mine. He was a retired police officer.
Or Dina.
Yes.
Yeah.
Him.
I was going to email you because I came across that email when you said to connect him because he may have, you know.
Well, I think he had like a 2-hour call with Farnaz. So okay. I don't know if she connected with you, but I, or talked about it, but how we know him is my girlfriend and I used to use this Lash Lady, and her brother was this cop who knows everybody in Gardena because he was there forever. And he was so excited to hear about this whole thing, and he wanted to get involved. And I know he had a conversation with Farnaz, but it kind of felt like it hasn't gone anywhere since. And he was kind of questioning, like, well, what are we doing? Like, I think he was excited to be a part of it or to ask what he can do, but it
and didn't
kind of
fell off. Okay. Yep.
And then I have another girlfriend who sat in on one of these sessions. Her name was Sherry Gong. Mm-hmm. And she was another one who was very connected to the Hawaiian community in Gardena. Mm-hmm. And I know you guys had suggested to her that perhaps you guys could do a Zoom call, and she's like, all these like private companies, like restaurants, auto body shop, like all these like smaller businesses in Gardena, they were owned by older people who were like maybe
first gen
in their 60s. Mm-hmm. None of them wanted to do Zoom, so I would like to figure out how I could set up that they could come visit the high school, or because they are very excited. They've been in that community for a long time, and they were very excited because they're kind of mad that Gardena doesn't have a really good high school. Mm-hmm. And they've been in this community forever, and they're like, what the hell? we're excited and we want to support this.
Okay.
But I think we need to circle back around with them and figure out like some event or tour to take them on, because I think they're just old school where they need to see you face to face and hear and see, and they're just not going to do the Zoom. Right.
Can I ask you, Zena, because I think when I'm curious, so for these folks in Gardena, do you feel like it would be more powerful to take them on a tour of our Lawndale High School? Like, this is what we want, or take them to the Crossroads site?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's hard to say because you kind of want to say this is going to be the school.
Maybe we can make a day of it or something.
I mean, it would be a lot to ask them to go to two locations, but I'm kind of thinking maybe with the new location and then have them also see, like, you know, in a 5 minute in a classroom to see our video that we have of the other schools so that they can get a feel of what this will be.
Right.
I just feel like, you know, when you walk on the campus in the Inglewood one, you go, wow, this is amazing. Right. And we're not quite there with the new one yet. I want that to be the location that they're familiar with. So they go, oh, I get it. It's right here. This is what it can be.
Yep. So I've been in conversation with Cindy, Dr. Guardado, our new principal at high school. And so she is very interested in sort of like community engagement. So I'm sure she would be really excited to hear that there are folks in Gardena who want to get connected.
Yeah.
So I think because of like site stuff, like we weren't able to like go public, but we're like banners now that we can finally put on the site.
Right. I mean, maybe we can't circle back around until September, but that's okay. You know, like once school has started, they get to see the kids in the classroom, whatever. And then if we, you know, had a separate classroom where we could just do a little presentation, I think that would be quite impactful.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Other ideas. Jeremiah, what's on top of mind for you? Anything?
Well, I mean, I've been actually wanting to try to involve organizations that, you know, are in the community that already want to support schools, but maybe they just haven't been connected to ECS, you know. And I feel like they don't have that many good options in these communities.
Yeah.
So if we can just get in front of them and, you know, go to some of their community meetings, their member meetings, and I think
what
that could be good.
Which ones are you talking about?
Well, I was thinking more of the ones so in Gardena. I know there's like a Gardena Community Council. I don't know if that's the exact name. But
is that the neighborhood? Is that the same as the Harbor Gateway Neighborhood Council? Separate.
That one's separate. But okay. I mean, that I don't know if that one's also been tapped. But I just like, I know that there's all these organizations that that we don't necessarily have partnerships with. And I think a part of it is like just going to their meetings and being involved with what they're doing.
Okay. Well, you are a resident of Gardena.
Yeah.
Jeremiah, are you not?
Yeah.
So I wonder if you were to like call and be like, I'm a resident. I want to know what community organizations are out there to support blah, 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 you know?
Yes.
I wonder if there's.
Yeah. I think that's a great next step.
To tap into your resident identity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sorry for taking all the time explaining earlier.
Oh,
we didn't really get to the questions.
Well, Zena, you have access to this document. So if you want to continue brainstorming or hopefully dropping things in, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, just want to get this conversation started again, because I know we kind of took like a little break, you know, to sort of build the committee, and now wanted to wrap back around with folks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a little bit of feedback that I was getting from some of the people was that, you know, being a part of the committee seemed too much of a commitment. Some people wanted to get involved if they could have like one little thing to do. It was just too many meetings for them. And as the larger
recording in progress.
All right, that time went by fast.
It did.
If it went by fast, that means that you all had so many great ideas. The time felt so fleeting. So, like I told Dean and Jeremiah, you all still have access to that document. You also have my email address. So as the ideas continue to come, please feel free to tag me in the document, you know, throw ideas in there, or just reach out to Farnaz and I directly. Maybe in the final minute, do any folks have any like ideas that came to mind for you or contacts that you would like to share with the group? Allison, unmute.
We didn't actually get to write this down, but, you know, in talking to Kennedy, he's been a partner with a school in Inglewood for a while, and Dr. Lincoln has now shut down that school, but he may be very well connected politically and might be, if he's interested, you know, someone that we can engage with, actually, Kennedy, to carry on the work that he did, but in a different kind of capacity. So we're only getting to that tip of that, like, thought as we
got closed off.
Right. Great. Thank
you. But I thought it was a good idea.
Okay. One more share out? Anyone?
You know, I'll throw this out. I think it's worthwhile that I introduced Farnaz to Darius Walker, who is someone who may be a board candidate. Mm-hmm. He is the development representative for Notre Dame, my alumni, or my alma mater. And he indicated when I spoke with him that there are alumni here in Southern California, although they invest in Notre Dame, they're looking for opportunities locally to contribute. And I think tapping into him and that network, but also thinking about other alumni who may be alumni outside of LA, mm-hmm. that may be a creative idea. And Farnaz, as I mentioned to our group, Sukeshi O'Neill, we need to reconnect with her and Pedram, because that's a potential source. And he's very competitive with Darren Anderson. And if Darren's involved, he probably will be getting involved. So.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Anthony. And thank you to, you know, all of you for just always being a champion, always being an ambassador. You know, I think oftentimes when we talk about development and fundraising, it's always like, oh, who do I know? You know, and I've tapped into all of my networks, but we have a whole school, right, that we're trying to fundraise, like something super tangible to say, like, we're trying to bring this to Gardena. So I think this is a really great effort and opportunity for all of you to sort of reconnect with all of those folks that you maybe have reached out to in the past. I will follow up with all of you individually in the next week or so, and then we can touch base then. All right. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Julie. I'm going to share screen again so that we can do consent agenda items. Can you guys see my screen now?
No.
No.
Not yet.
Sorry.
Okay. If you can scroll back up a little bit, that'd be great. So, Jeremiah, do you want to start this, or generally what we do is we get a motion to approve these consent items, and then we open it up for any questions, comments, or concerns regarding them?
I'll make a motion to approve consent items A through M.
Thank you, Ken. Do I have a second?
I second. This is Madhu.
Madhu, thank you. Okay, with that said, anybody have any questions, concerns, comments regarding A through M?
I do want to bring up a small note to item B, which is the teachers on local assignment. I believe Sarah's here. She could speak to it a little bit more. Just a final change, last minute change.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Jeremiah. Yesterday, I met with our credentialing consultant who we use to ensure that we stay in favorable eyes with all things credentialing. And she made a recommendation that we add 4 additional teachers to the board policy. She felt that they all met the qualifications to be approved on that special assignment. I reached out to their principals as well as Danielle and the teachers today, and we got all of their blessing to do so. So we did add 4 additional ones in today. We didn't want to have to call a special meeting because it has to be approved before the first day of school. So that is a last minute addition in here for you all. They're all going to continue to seek their permanent credential. This will just allow a little bit of relief and breathing room after a really hard year for them to be on this special assignment for the board and be compliant. But they're all remain committed, as do we as a team, to getting them over the finish line with the appropriate credential.
Any questions for Sarah or anything related to the other consent items? Okay, then with that, I will ask for a vote. Betsy?
Aye.
Ken?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Janina?
Aye.
Zena?
Aye.
Madhu?
Aye.
Denise?
Aye.
And Anthony, aye. Consent items A through M have been approved. And now we have action items. And
there's so a little celebration in one of those agenda items. I just wanted to appreciate and celebrate the fact that that Janina Ramirez has agreed to serve on the Menlo Charter Properties Board.
Yeah.
She's been an active participant for many months, maybe more. But it's really wonderful to have you as a formal committee member of our Menlo Charter Properties Board, and thank you for agreeing to do this.
Yeah. Thank you, Janina.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
We were all excited the other day, and we're still excited.
Thank you. Thank you, Allison.
Okay. Thank you for now for pointing that out. Appreciate it. Okay, so before we move to discuss and approve action A, do I have a motion to approve the 2021-2022 consolidated application for ECS schools?
I so move, Betsy.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second, Ken.
Thank you, Ken. Okay, Tracy, anything that you wanted to discuss regarding action item A? No, she's connecting. Farnaz, do you anything you wanted to add to that? Are there any questions or concerns regarding the consolidated application from board members?
Nothing too exciting to report here. This is our regular reporting process for our CONAP, and we have to do it every year for funding for all of our sites. You can see the ECHS Gardena is listed here too. Tracy, I don't know if there's anything more you want to add, or Jeremiah, but this is a regular part of our process. But since it's a significant part of our process, we've added it as an action item rather than similar to how we separate the LCAP, which is a very big element of our work. The CONAP is as well. So we don't put it as a, in as a consent agenda item.
Okay. Just so you know, Farnaz, Tracy, it looks like she's still trying to connect. Oh, maybe she's just connected now. Before I get the board to approve, is there anything that you wanted to say? Just so you know, Tracy, Farnaz gave a bit of an overview of what it is and why it's now an action item and not a consent item.
Right. For the approval of the CONAP?
Correct. The action item A.
Okay. So, yeah, this is just something we do every year. It's how we receive our title funding. So it's just official board approval that we're applying for Title I, Title II, Title IV, and then at Gardena, Title III. Gardena gets Title III and serves the other schools for English learner services. So, it's kind of a formality.
Okay, thank you. Any questions before we move to the vote? Okay. Betsy.
Aye.
Ken.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Janina.
Aye.
Zena.
Aye.
Madhu. You may be on mute.
She did say she had to leave a few minutes ago, so I think she had to leave.
Okay, no worries. Denise.
Aye.
And Anthony. Aye. Action item is approved. Action item A is approved. So moving on to B, If I can get a motion to approve the 2021-2022 academic calendar for the ECS schools.
So moved, Kennedy.
Thank you, Kennedy. Do I have a second?
I second, Zena.
Thank you, Zena. Danielle, anything you want to discuss, provide insight on regarding consent item, action item B?
Just, I can show you the comparison if you're interested, but basically we're meeting the minimum requirement for instructional days at the middle schools, exceeding by one day at the high schools, and we're exceeding the minimum number of instructional minutes in the same range of kind of number of minutes over that we have in previous years. You'll remember that last year, all of the kind of rules about instructional minutes were waived. So we're using the opportunity to come back and meet these new minutes as an opportunity to build into our academic calendar and our bell schedules a commitment to those priorities. So principals have been working really diligently to build in time at least twice a week for extended advisory for all students, and to build in time into the schedule for intervention, academic intervention for students. We ask that principals do a minimum of intervention time in the schedule for all, or for at least one grade level, and principals thought that was not enough. They ensured that there's intervention time for all grade levels. So that's a little bit of update, and I am happy to show the comparisons if you want to look at the numbers. Just let me know. And I can answer questions too.
Any questions, comments from the board regarding action item B? Anything you want to ask Danielle? Okay. Then with that, I will ask for a vote. Betsy?
Aye.
Ken?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Janina?
Aye.
Zena?
Aye.
Denise?
Aye.
And Anthony, aye. Action item B has been approved. Thank you, Danielle. Going back to Farnaz.
So we are not going to get to see you in a board meeting setting until September 9th. But we would love to see you all individually and to have opportunities to partner with you before then. So we'll be reaching out to all the board members, Julie and I, and some of the other leadership team members to connect with you and engage with you on our work. We're grateful for the tremendous partnership we've had with all the board members and the amount of trust you have in our leadership. So thank you for that. The next meeting is September 9th, and there's some committee meetings coming before then. But they're all listed there for you.
So this says the 9th is a virtual meeting. Is that what you mean?
Jeremiah, my understanding is that we will be offering both virtual and in-person opportunities for people in the start in September at the September 9th meeting. Is that accurate?
I think it's still being worked out. We can definitely offer both options. So yeah, I think that it could be virtual for some people.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with that, I think we are ending right on time or a couple minutes early. With that, I appreciate everyone for keeping with the agenda and all of you for being here. And I just want to open up for appreciations and final thoughts from anyone before we adjourn the meeting.
I want to appreciate Janina for joining the Menlo board. Thank you for doing that. We really appreciate that.
Thank you. It's an honor. I want to show appreciation to Julie, the development team, as well as Allison. I'm very excited for Founders Day. When I was introduced to ECS, the concept of the second high school was developing, and I'm just so eager to see every student enrolled and see that come to fruition.
We so do have an update for you on, oh, did you want to say it?
Go ahead.
Founders Day is going to be postponed for a little while. They wanted to take some time to really launch the year off, and with Summer Bridge and all the programming that the principal is holding right now, we've decided to hold off a little bit and get the families more engaged before we launch Founders Day. But we'll be in touch as soon as we have the date on that, Danina. But thank you.
Good to know. Thank you. Thank you.
I just appreciate, I always appreciate coming to these board meetings because they are so well prepared, thought through, and conducted. So it's very impressive. I would like to have a recording of this so I could share it with my board, but I don't think I'll be doing that. But I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so I want to appreciate all the board members here just for really sticking with us throughout this whole year. It's a very long school year, a lot of special board meetings, a lot of materials that we had to present in front of you and ask for your guidance and decision-making. So just really for being really good partners with us, and we hope this continues for a very long time.
I want to express significant gratitude for trust. I think that this year has been a year of significant trust building for our whole organization, both amongst the staff and from our board. And it's really palpable. I feel like we rely on each other and lean on each other in new ways. And I'm very, very grateful for all of you and all of the leaders in this space for the amazing amount of work that they've done to have the results that they reported on. Everything from launching a high school during a pandemic to coming up with the calendar and engaging all the stakeholders in that process, Danielle, and everything else she's doing to define the new normal for this next coming year. Sarah and everything she's doing for accountability on HR, which is a crazy time. And Jeremiah and Tracy and Julie, I can't appreciate the team members enough, but we feel really scaffolded by an amazing board of people, and we're very grateful for you all.
That's awesome.
Thank you all.
All right. I think with that, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
Thank you, Ken. Do I have a second?
Tina, I second.
Thank you. All right. Betsy.
Aye.
Ken.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Danina.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. I'm like, where'd you go? Zena.
Aye.
Denise.
Aye.
And Anthony. Aye. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for your time and your commitment. Have a great week.
Thank you, everyone.